Makat Barat. Why not? Because hail, it's a good one. Okay. Perek Tet. Parashat Vayera. Okay. Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The trouble with learning the Makot as individual Makot is that they don't... there's a series. They obviously fall into a series. And when you study them as individual Makot, something is lost. But nonetheless, if you don't study them as individual Makot, we never get to them. You know, you always, like, you know, we have to learn the whole thing as a piece, et cetera, et cetera. So just as an introduction, it's important to know, you know, there are, like, just as we study in the Haggadah, right, there's three sets. Dam, Tzvardei, Akinim, if you can look and imagine in your head, right, the three sets. You know, Dam, Tzvardei, Akinim, Arba, Devashchin, Barad, Arba, Choshech, and then Makap Bechorot is like number 10. Okay, should we do that in English? Because it's important to have that, this sort of like chart in your head. Right, Dam, blood, frogs, lice. Okay, that's number one. Number one, blood. Number, okay, Dam, Tzvardei, Akinim. Arov, it is a personal pet peeve of mine. What is arov?
And wild animals?
Yeah, okay. Arov is translated as mixed multitudes. Rashi says it's wild animals. What do the wild animals do? What do they do? This always bothers me. I never
what
believed
mean,
that it was...
Do?
What do they do? What do wild animals usually
They're
do?
They're wild.
They hunt.
What?
Kill.
And kill. Okay? My only problem with this is... Like, as the makot become more... What is the most severe makah? Most severe plague?
In the firstborn.
Right, why?
It's death and permanent.
Because it's death. Correct?
It's suffering.
Right, no, because it's death, because that's the worst. Everything up until then is... Not death.
It's gross.
Suffering.
Have you ever seen kids that are afraid of dogs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, your daughter.
So wait,
my daughter?
My
yes.
kids.
Me.
Yeah. Both.
Really? My daughter is deathly afraid of dogs.
Rina,
she's not afraid of dogs. She's afraid of the cats. So can you imagine, like, outside the Gan, they have this huge dumpster, which is like cat heaven. So she won't. She's deathly afraid. She doesn't like going to the Gan with me, because then I strongly encourage her to go to Gan, get out of the car on her own, and walk into Gan. But she hates it.
Why is she scared of cats?
What?
My daughter's scared.
Why is she scared of cats?
Because they're scary. Excuse me, have you ever put garbage in the dumpster and then the cat jumped out of you?
Uh-huh.
Cats are scary. Anyway.
So
wait, back to the wild animals. So what you're suggesting then is the wild animals, only you can suggest it, the wild animals were there.
Psychological.
But they didn't do anything.
Just locked yourself inside and there was a bear.
Which is really weird. Doesn't it say, the whole thing sounds weird. Rashi says it, I won't deny it. Rashi says it, the Midrash says it. I found one parish, I don't remember who says it. I found one parshan that I love, I don't remember who says it, who said that Arov is gnats and fleas and flies.
Wow.
What?
I believe it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Have you ever, like... Right, have you... What?
Yeah.
Could you imagine being, like, everywhere, no matter where you went?
That's like the other one.
Yeah,
my son and
his daughter.
Isn't there another one like
that? Right, what? Why do I like that? Because think about Dam. I always think about the first one, okay? Like Dam. What was the lasting punishment of the Dam? The blood. Okay, what was the problem with the blood?
It was everywhere.
It was everywhere? So what did they do? How did they drink? How did they survive? It was a week. Hmm. So the Torah says that they
drank blood?
They
didn't drink
blood.
Well, they dug wells. I.e., the plague was gross and annoying and a nuisance, but it wasn't permanent. Right? And if you look at the sivers, remember you said Dam Svardaya Kinim Svardaya also. Right? What did it do? It left a lasting impression. What?
Just imagine that the wells, anything that was water.
Yeah, no, it says the Nile. They drank, they had to drink. They didn't drink for a week? What?
Well, there was a
coffee.
It wasn't Midrash.
Every water.
Juice.
We boil it up.
Don't say that. Yeah, okay.
It wasn't
midrashim,
all water sources.
Yeah, there are plenty of midrashim. Let's remember, we're not in Ghana anymore. You know what I'm saying, right? And so that what you're picturing is, I know exactly what you're picturing. They're both drinking from a slurpee with a straw, and the Jews got the water, and the Negev got the blood. Yeah, okay.
Now I'm picturing my Pesach Haggadah.
Right, something like that. Anyway, so I always believe that Arov is they call it mixed multitude, but I never believe it's wild animals because it doesn't shtim, doesn't make sense with the progression of the plagues. You wouldn't have wild animals and scorpions and snakes.
Doesn't it relate to also the rashes or the days of creation?
Never heard that.
It was like an inverse recreating of the world. So every day of creation, when something was created, this was like the recreating.
No, but the 7 and 10? Really?
There is some.
I've never heard that. I'd like to see it. Let's stop for a second, Rachel. And this is she brought the kibbutz. Thank you. In the memory of your father.
Yes.
Shalom Ben Yechezkel.
Shraga.
Okay. Should be maybe offer his neshama. Anybody listening? Maybe offer his neshama. Sorry, I was thinking it's a year already, right?
It's 2 years.
2 years. Time flies.
Yeah.
You came last year with your sister-in-law.
Right.
I remember we were at the shit.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So we're going to do Bar Mitzvah. Arov Dever Shchin. Right. Because remember, Dever hit the animals and did cause damage. Shchin hit the people. Like Dam Sfardeya Kinim. Kinim is always on the people. Okay, Dever is on the. You know what I'm saying? So now we're to Barad. Right, Barad, Arba, Choshech. Choshech is the people. Arba is the crops. It's always this progression of sort of like a showy plague, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is an environmental catastrophe. Number three is the people. Okay? Then Arov, showy. Dever, kill the animals. Shchin, attacked.
People.
The people. Barad, we're going to see that it definitely has an effect because it's progressing in magnitude.
Can you say it in English? I can never
remember. Okay. Go back again. Blood. It's like hard for me to do it in English because I can't. Okay. Blood is showy. Didn't really do anything. Okay. The frogs. Again, it's a very interesting question. What happened during the Tzvardeya? But at the end, remember, the Tzvardeya remained. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kinim. Lice. We know lice. That's a punishment.
Oh,
that's a plague. Okay. Okay. The lice. And then number four, Arov, this whatever it is, wild animals, mixed multitude. They didn't eat people, so it was just fear or annoying. Okay. Pestilence was on the animals, killed the animals. Shchin is the boils. Again, boils is a punishment, physical punishment. Okay. Then Barad, hail. We're going to do today. So if in the progression, remember, number one is always a showy plague. It's not a punishment plague, but each one is getting worse. Started from the blood, then the arov, and now the hail. Okay, and then we're going to do barad. Arba, what does arba do? What does locust do?
Eat the crops.
Total decimation, economic decimation. Choshech affects who?
People.
We've done choshech. Haven't we done choshech before?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. You all remember that? I remember that also. I think it's really true.
One of my favorite things from the Torah.
Favorite? You love the darkness?
No.
The Dementors? What's it called?
Explanation.
I really think it's very compelling. So awesome. I never thought about it till then. Okay, anyway. So, if you're listening at home, it's probably on the internet somewhere. And then, Makat B'chorot is the big one, like the plague of the firstborn. So, it's all leading up to. So, today we're going to do Barad, so which is the first hail, is the first plague in the last series. You with me? Right? The first plague of last series. So therefore, it's going to be a showy plague, from what I understand. It's going to try to demonstrate something, but it's not going to have devastation in such a way.
Permanent.
Permanent. And we're going to see both of those elements in the plague itself. Okay? That's how I always have this chart in my head when I study the plagues. That's how I try to understand each of the plagues. Morning. Okay. So now to Tet Yud Gimel. It's a little bit longer of a text. Vayom Hashem El Moshe. Hashem baboker v'hityatzev lifnei paro. Get up in the morning. I'm at 9:13. Get up in the morning and stand before paro. What was the big deal about getting up in the morning and standing before paro? When you get up in the morning, why? What was paro's big thing? According to the Midrash?
To the Nile.
Right, why do you go to the Nile?
To stand up.
What?
To worship it.
No.
Oh, to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, to use the facilities. Okay, and the Midrash says that he went there in the morning so nobody would know because he presented himself like a deity. And deity said, I have to go to the bathroom. Okay. So Moshe would go during his private time and like throws him off specifically. And like, we all know.
What does he do the whole day though?
What?
He goes
trains himself, I don't know. We all like you and I know that this is all a charade, i.e. Okay?
Hashem Boker, Ba'amarta Ilav, Ko Amar Hashem Elohe Ha'ivri, Shalach Et Ami V'Yavduni.
So saith the God, the God of the Hebrews, send out my people, V'Yavduni, and they will serve me. Tet Yud Gimel. Okay? Ki. One second. Is there a Rashi here? No. Ki, B'Pam Hazot. אני שולח את כל מגפותיי אל ליבך ובעבדיך ובעמך בעבור תדע כי אין כמוני בכל הארץ. At this time, I am sending all of my magefa, my plagues, to your heart, to you and your servants and your nation, so that you will know כי אין כמוני בכל הארץ. Just so you know, we can't do this obviously in depth. There's increasing, like if you look at the reason for each plague, you have to go back. Like each time before each series, Moshe appears to Paro and says to him, there's a reason why we're having each one. And obviously the reasons of the plagues, there are two reasons for the plagues, two major reasons. One is so that the Egyptians will know, and two is
for the Jews to know.
Okay? Ki ata. Now, behold now, Pasuk Ketva. Shalachti et yadi, ve'ach otcha ve'et amcha, בדבר ותיקחי מן הארץ. Okay? You can say it. I mean, it's not really going to work. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. This is a little tricky. We're going to have to do this together. Now I will send forth my hand and strike you בדבר. What's דבר? How do they translate it? It's very interesting.
Pestilence.
Right, with pestilence. But it can't be pestilence, because why? Anybody know?
Not the right order.
Right, you had it already. Okay. Vatikached min. And you will be... Kikached? What did the scroll say? Debbie, what does it say?
Obliterated.
You will be obliterated. Read the whole pasuk. It says pestilence?
Yeah.
Okay. So the obvious question is, right, what in the world is going on here? Okay. But ulam, I'm going to read a little bit. Ba'avur zot emaraticha, I have kept you upright for this reason. Ba'avur ha'otcha et kochi u'leman saper shemi b'chol ha'aretz, so that you will know my might and you will speak of my name with all your land, throughout your land. Okay? Orcha, so therefore he's saying, shalachi et yadi, with pestilence, I already hit you with pestilence, but nonetheless you still remain. Okay? Now the question obviously is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why does Moshe mention here Deber? Like, we're not going to do Deber, we're going into Barad. Let's see if Rashi says anything.
It means savar, like with this thing.
Rashi. Look at Rashi. No, Deber. Pestilence. Ki ilu ratziti, if I had wished, I'm on Rashi on Tepav. Shaita yadi bebiknecha, kshehikiti in bedever, when I struck your cattle, sheep, whatever, with pestilence, shlachtika behikiti otcha ve'et amcha im ha-behemot. I could have destroyed you, vatikachei min ha-aretz. Aval, he said, I could have destroyed you. So what Rashi says is, what he's saying is, when I struck you with the pestilence, I could have destroyed you. Interesting. I have to think about this because it doesn't really, something's missing here. Like, why is he mentioning specifically Deber? I don't really know. Does anybody say anything? Anybody? Okay. But I kept what Rashi says. I kept you around because I wanted to.
Wait, Deber is the second or the last one?
Arab Deber. Deber is pestilence on the animals. That happens
so
already.
It's not the people, so why is he killing him?
If I wanted to, when I killed the animals in the pestilence, Rashi says I could have killed you too. But I kept you around. Why did I keep you around?
Could have been like bird flu or something.
What's that?
Mad cow disease,
right. I kept you around. Why? In order to, so that you will know and spread the name of God. But why does he mention, he could have said, you know, when I gave you boils, I could have killed you. Like, why does he mention the pestilence? I don't know.
Well, also, they worship the animals.
Yeah.
Boils was on their own body. They didn't see other than him. They weren't God.
Okay.
It's another reminder of their idolatry.
Yeah. It's an idea. It's a thought. It's something I have to think about. Why did Moshe specifically mention... What?
I
no, it's a good thought. Like, really, it's like I think about it. I don't really know. Okay? Nonetheless, otcha mistolel b'ami is a great word. You're still mistolel. Right? How does he translate mistolel? Because Rashi says it's from the word maslu. You make a road up. What?
And yet exalted thou thyself against my people.
In English?
Yes.
Say it again. You have still, what I, my understanding colloquially is, you're still messing around with us.
Mishtolel.
What is it?
You're still free upon my people.
Tread upon my people. From the word mishtolel, so the Midrash says from maslul. Like maslul is a road. You're like, you're walking all over us. But I like that. From mishtolel. Like mishtolel means to play with. You're playing with us. Levilti shalcham. That's only the math. Therefore, hinini mamtir ka'et machar barad kaved ma'od. I will rain down upon you tomorrow at this time very heavy hail. Asher lo haya kamo b'mitzrayim limin hayom hivasda ad atam. I'm still on the Chumash. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Chet. Okay? In Pasuk Yud Chet. That I'm going to rain down at this time tomorrow hail, very heavy hail that was never in Egypt from the day it was instituted, from the day it was founded until today. Pasuk Yud Chet.
Well, it was a new creation.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the bread. It actually is explicitly a miracle in the Torah itself. Ve'ata shlach ha'ez et miknecha asher lecha kol ve'et kol asher lecha besadeh kol ha'adam v'ha'be'ima asher yimatzei besadeh v'lo yaseif ha'baita v'yarad aleihem ha'barad v'metu. So this is the first time, by the way, where the Egyptians had a choice. Until now, think about it, right? Until now, no matter what the Egyptians did, the plague was still going to come. And it's still going to affect them in whatever way it would. But now Moshe is saying, I'm warning you about this plague. You have 24 hours.
Bring in your stuff from your field.
Bring your stuff from your field. But the only reason you would bring your stuff from your field is if...
you believe that it's actually going to happen.
Yes. Right. If you really believe that it was going to happen. Because if you didn't believe it was going to happen, if you weren't afraid, then who's Moshe? Okay? Kaf. So what happened? Hayare edvar Hashem me'avdei paro... So he who was fearful of God, the word of God, he did it. He brought his stuff in.
He did.
Question. Do you think Paro told the people?
No, because they would be in weakness.
Right. If Paro was not afraid, why would he tell the people? So how would they find out?
Moshe told
Paro.
His servants.
Yeah, one gets the sense that the word got around very quickly. So now therefore God is really putting the Egyptians between a rock and Moshe is putting the Egyptians between a rock and a hard place.
Choose God and Paro.
What?
Choose God or Paro.
That's right. Which one is it? Hayare, do you fear the word of God or do you fear the word of Paro? Now, obviously, what happens to you, it's a very difficult choice. Because if you choose Paro, you could lose all your stuff.
Yeah.
But if you choose God, and it turns out that you made the wrong choice, what are the ramifications of that?
Your head.
Right. Paro would kill you. Assuming that you made the wrong choice and it didn't happen. Because Paro would then find out and...
I guess you could hedge your bets.
How do you hedge your bets?
Half and half out.
I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people like that, but that doesn't help. As soon as you hedge your bets, what are you going to tell the power? No, I only half didn't trust you.
My cat was sick, running from the cold.
Yeah, and your slaves and all your stuff. And you know, it's very interesting. And afterwards, so what happened after the plague? Half the people have their stuff, and half the people don't. So all the people that didn't lose all of their cattle, right, nonetheless, they're still walking around, but they're feeling good about themselves. But
power's going to kill them.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But they look terrible in the eyes of the Egyptian rule. Like, the Egyptians are between a rock and a hard place. It's a very interesting question. Like, can you do that? Can you make a half choice? You know, can you hedge your bets? The answer really is no, you can't really in the world. You have to decide. Right? What are you thinking?
I don't live in Israel
for a year. Well, I knew you were thinking exactly that. I knew you were thinking exactly that. Yeah. Okay, I'm not gonna get into it. Anyway, עוד חמש סלע מן היום יבסת. Okay, ואתה רוצה לדבר בריא ואשר לא חמיש. But פסוק חבר. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is
the test? Is only for Pharaoh, not for the Egyptians.
It's for the Egyptians also. Anyway, we're raising the stakes. Until now, see what's interesting also is from now there's you're finding a division. Power represents his people. What he says goes. But now what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Power, it's not just about you. Now the whoever wants to save themselves, and Moshe, like, maybe you're right, maybe Moshe went out and like made it clear. Like he said, you know, like, you guys, you have to understand, I just gave power this choice, and he said no. Are you going to go with him or not? Meaning on the one, and so now from this place on, Paro is like, Moshe is steadily peeking away at the leadership of Paro in front of his own people. Right? Because remember, the way that Paro imposes his will is by him peace people enforcing what he says, enforcing his decree. The whole exodus happens not because of Paro. The exodus happens because Paro says, let me, you know, finally let them go. But the people said, get them out of here. Okay, so you see a progressive, you know, first it's the Khartoumim, they say, oh, we can do this trick too. Later on, the Khartoumim, the magicians say, we can't do this trick, it's God. And there's this increasing level of, do you really believe in what your king says? Now, are you going to follow up? Are you going to do what the king says? Or are you going to do something else? And it's difficult to us to really appreciate because, like, we live in a time where we choose our own destiny. Like, you know what I'm saying? Our whole system of beliefs is that we choose our own destiny. But for people living in Egypt, the subjects of Egypt, there is no such thing as defying the king. There is no such thing. Like, they don't have that option. It's really literally life or death. So to make this choice is a very, very difficult choice. It's not a simple thing at all. Let's go on. Pasuk Chavet. V'yam Hashem Moshe. Nete et yadcha al hashamayim. V'hi barad b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Al adam al behema b'al kol esev asadeh b'eretz Mitzrayim. Stretch out your hand over the heavens, and there will be hail on the land of Egypt, on man, on animal, and also on the grass, all of the land of Egypt. When Moshe does it, Vayet Moshe et Mateyu al Hashamayim, Vashem Natan Kolot Ubarot. It wasn't just hail.
Thunder,
he says?
Yeah.
Interesting. Thunder and hail. Vati halach esh arza. And it wasn't just hail.
It was fire.
It was fire hail. Okay? Vayamter Hashem Barad Eretz Mitzrayim. So, right. Uh-huh. Now, what is hail usually made of?
Ice.
Okay? So how do you get, like, if it's a meteor shower, that's rocks. Are they frozen rocks? Like, or is it just this?
They're frozen and then they burn up when they get in the atmosphere.
Hold on. So the Torah goes on. Vayihi parshu katalit. Vayihi barad ve'esh mitlakachat betocha barad. It's like
mitlakachat
from the word lakachat, I think. Mitlakachat betocha barad. Okay, look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. We're going to read a Rashi and I'll read you a midrash on the Rashi. Mitlakachat betocha barad. Okay, nes betoch nes. A miracle and a miracle. The barad itself is a miracle. But ha'esh v'habarad me'uravim. Barad, in this case, it's not meteor, it's not rocks, it's ice. So the fire and ice mix together. V'habarad mayinu, because hail is made of water. V'la'asot ritzon konam asu shalom v'nehem. In order to do the will of God, they made peace between each other. I'm going to read you the midrash. The midrash says the following. Esh mitlakachat betoch habarad. Nes betoch nes. Says the Midrash, Bamidbar Rabbah, Mashal lema hadavar domeh. What can this be compared to? Shlei legionot, two, how should we say, competing legions in the king's army. Okay, kashim, difficult ones. Shayusonim zeze, they hated each other. So you have two, you know, competing generals. What? No, generals in the army, not Esav and Yaakov. I wouldn't even say it that way. You have a king, and he has two generals, and each one you have the air force, and you have the, I don't know, the Navy. Right? They can't stand each other because each one thinks, well, without the Air Force, you then without the Navy, whatever. So they're always competing with one another. They're always at each other's throats. Le'yamim higi azman milchamto shel ha'melech. But the time came for war. Ma asa ha'melech asa shalom b'neihem. So the king called them in and said, friends, you got to work together, even if you can't stand each other. V'halchu l'gionot el yachad v'asu shlichut ha'melech. So then these guys, they recognized, they said, now the time for us not to fight with each other. We have to do the shlichut of the king. Kach esh ubarad. Tzuhubim zeleze. Right? Fire and ice. They hate each other. They don't hate each other. They contradict one another. They nullify each other. Kivan shigi azman milchamah memitzayim. When the time came for war against Egypt, asa kadosh baruch hu shalom b'nehem. God made peace among them. V'hiku b'mitzayim. Okay? And that's what it means. That's what Rashi means. Nes betoch nes. It was a miracle of nature. That all of nature came together and opposites, literally natural opposites, were able to coexist in such a way in order to bring about the will of God. So there's a, like rabbis always like this midrash, because you know, like there's a notion of like people that disagree with one another, there are factions that disagree with one another. But when, even though they disagree strongly, when the time comes for a purpose of a higher calling, like you have to learn to put aside your differences in order to work together for the higher calling. And this is a beautiful midrash that illustrates that. It's come from the Esh Mayim, Shamayim, right? The idea of putting together two opposites in order to create. Maybe that's what you meant by Bereishit? Right? Shamayim, Esh Mayim, fire and the water? Right, that's
no,
the heaven?
I learn a whole shiur on each day.
That's one of them, I think, probably. Okay, but the idea of Barad, it's contradicting the forces of nature. And this Rashi says was the tremendous miracle. But it's interesting. Hail would have been enough. Like, you know, if you only did hail, Dayenu, you know what I'm saying? What's the point of the fire hail?
Well, I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier. Why is he going back to the pestilence? Really, why is he mentioning it at the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Think about this plague. What's the purpose of the plague? Remember, in our structure, is the purpose of the plague
for show?
For show. Is the purpose of the plague to destroy, or the purpose is for show? You want it to be so. Therefore, if it was just to destroy, and we're going to see, hail itself is destructive enough. Okay, we don't see things. We don't read later. We're not going to read the things burning down. Okay. Like they, you know, have you ever seen like those war movies, you know, when they show the war movies at night? Like, you know, and they're seeing like the battle scenes. Those tracer bullets are the scariest things in the world. Because you see, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm talking about?
We don't need to see the movies.
No. Right, well,
you can just go outside, you know, we were all here last year and you could just go outside.
You actually couldn't see it. What could you see? You couldn't see anything. What did you see?
The smoke trail.
Usually you saw the Iron Dome.
Whatever it was, you could still see it.
I don't know. I think that we didn't. I don't know. By the time the rocket got up, it's not whatever. It doesn't matter. The fire is scary. You know what I'm saying? When you see this thing streaking down towards you, right? It's more of a. It was a show more than anything. Like the point of the kolot and the ish, and the barad was to destroy. But it was more of a showy destruction than anything else. Why? In order to, because God said like specifically,
the,
what?
The first fire.
Rashi says, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said it. 1 second. Ba'avur heraotcha et kvodi, uleman saper shemi b'chol haaretz. I will show you my glory. I will show you my might. Right? This show of might. It's not enough. Like, I could have killed you through the devil. I could have done it, you know, through pestilence, but it's not enough, because if that happened, then you would have said we all died with mad cow disease. But I want it to be something more. I want it to be something showy. I want this idea of the might of God to be something that people see. Okay? Questions? Comments? No? Let's read on.
Was this something the magicians could emulate?
No, they're done.
They're done?
Yeah. They stopped a while back. Okay? Now what happened? Vayhi barad ve'ish. Here, chaf dalet. Vayhi barad ve'ish mitlakachat v'tocha barad. So it was hail and fire mitlakachat v'tocha barad. Kaved meod. Asher lo hayakamu b'chol eretz Mitzrayim me'az hayta legoy. There was never any hail like that. Derech agav, there was never, almost never any hail ever in Egypt. But how much precipitation is there in Egypt generally?
It has to be cold enough.
What? Forget barad. How much rain is there in Egypt? How does Egypt get its water?
From the Nile.
Right. They don't count on rain. So, hail? Almost never. Remember when it snowed in Yerushalayim, like 3 feet? I remember they said like they got a dusting in Cairo, and that was like, you know, never. It never happened.
But didn't it say that about the flood? Did this is how the flood, that the flood with the rain was actually the like, sulfur fire rain that came.
What do you mean?
When the flood started with Noah's
flood. Yeah.
It was like fire.
That there was
rain.
Hail? Fire and hail?
I think they say the water was boiling
hot. Yeah, the water was boiling hot. Okay. Ekol Echavar Adam Imbar, Ekol Isa Vasadeh Hikabarad, Ekol Eitz Asadeh Shiver. So it just, now, this is not Shoshone anymore, right? It destroyed everything in the fields, it destroyed all the trees. Rak, Be'eretz Goshen, Asher Yahashem Ben Israel, Lo Haya Barad. Of course, like the Jews didn't get any hell. Okay, they were fine. Vayishlach Pasuk Chavzayin, Vayishlach Paro, Vayikra Lemoshe Ulaharon, Vayomer Lehem Chatati Hapam, Hashem Hatzadik, Va'ani Ve'ami Harishayim. He says, I have sinned. Like we're seeing increasing contrition on Paro's part. Right? God is righteous, and I and my nation are the wicked ones. Ha'atiru el Hashem. Ha'atiru is a very interesting word. Vayater. Anybody remember where we saw that word before?
To
nullify. No, no. Vayater. It's not just lihit palel. Vayater is to beseech God. To really dive in, okay? Ha'atiru el Hashem. V'rav miyot kolot Elohim u'barad.
Yaakov?
Where do we see it?
When he goes to sleep at night?
No, we see it actually in Yitzchak. When v'yater Hashem l'nochach ito, v'yater lo Hashem. Right, then Yitzchak prayed for Rivka to have a child. And God answered him.
We learned that together?
Probably at some point. Beginning of Parshat Toldo, I think. I almost remember. Okay. Okay. Fine, I'll send you away. Okay, it's too much. It really is too much. Pasuk kapte. Vayomer elav Moshe. Ketzeti et ha'ir. Efros et kapai al Hashem. Hakolot yichdalun. Vehabara lo yeod. Leman teida ki lahashem haaretz. Ve'ata v'abadecha yadati. Ki terem tir'un mifnei Hashem elokechim. Mifnei Hashem elokim. Okay, so first of all, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to go out of the city. I will lift up my hands. I mean, it can't just be that it'll stop. It has to stop when Moshe says it stops. Why?
Chevy.
Right, so that you'll know. Okay, va'ata va'abadecha, and you and your people, yadati ki terem tirun b'nei Hashem l'kim. I know you're really not afraid. I.e., Moshe says to him, you say you're going to let us go.
But I know it's not true.
Like the game is playing out. Okay? And what happened? Okay? So what happened? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. V'hapishta v'hasora nukata ki hasora aviv v'hapishta givo. This is a very interesting psukim that people don't really pay attention to. Okay? Translate for me in English, please, just to get the exact word.
The flax and the barley were smitten.
Okay, why?
The barley was in the ear and then the flax was in bloom.
Okay, aviv means in the spring. Okay. V'hachita v'hakusemet lo nuku. The wheat and the kusemet is some kind of grain. Spelt. Yeah. Were not.
Kusmet.
Ki afi lo tema. Because they are?
Because they're ripening later.
Okay, so what's the point? What's going on here? Well, how is that important?
We know that it's right before Pesach.
It's not right before Pesach. We don't know what it is. It's Barad. When's that going to go?
Even
do you have any idea of the timeline? Is it each one like a week? It's when I have no idea. When is the wheat harvest in Egypt? Anybody know?
He had Rachmanis on them, maybe.
Oh.
To show that he hit them, yes, but he also had Rachmanis.
Very good. 1 second. Anybody? Anyone? What's the point?
Let us think.
Yeah, think. It's a good idea.
It's not going to be another famine.
What?
There's not going to be another famine.
Well, there's going to be a famine. What's the next plague? What comes after Barad?
Barad.
Wait.
Wild animals?
No. Barad? Arbe, which is? What do locusts do? Whatever was left is gone. What's the point of leaving anything over?
Giving him a chance.
Giving them hope.
Yeah.
Oh. This goes what? This goes back to the idea that it's a process, right? It's a process of building and taking away, building and taking away. There's a whole concept of like, how did God harden Paro's heart? Did He harden Paro's heart by literally hardening Paro's heart and saying like Paro was physically unable to let them go, like he just didn't have a choice anymore, which is one valid position. Well, there's another way of hardening your heart. Dangling it in front of you and saying, like, oh, you're going to let me go, you're going to let me go, you're going to let me go, and then taking it away.
So fascinating, because in psychology we know that reinforcement, intermittent reinforcement, is much stronger than constant positive reinforcement.
Say that again.
No, it causes depression.
Intermittent study after study has shown that intermittent reinforcement is much stronger than constant.
Can you give me an example, like what you mean?
So, for example, a child, does their homework, and every night you say, "Wow, you're so amazing! You're so amazing!"
Okay.
Or like every third day.
Once in a while.
You say it. Or the cats come to your house every day to be fed, right? If you feed them every day, they won't.
Which you do.
They won't hang around as much as if you feed them every third day.
No way. Really? What if you don't feed them at all? They still live in the dumpster.
But the idea, just Google it, intermittent reinforcement. The idea that when
something, give something, take it away.
Nature is so craving that thing that will like hang on to wait until we get this.
How have I never heard this? This is so interesting.
Yeah, it's in all like the basic, Psych 101 textbooks.
Really? Okay. Good to know. What?
I gotta try it.
I said, let's try it.
Yeah. No, I think we all, but I think intuitively, I'm thinking now that you say that, I think we intuitively do it. You can't always like encourage your kid, oh, great job in your homework every day. You know what I'm saying? And you can't, interestingly enough, you can't always punish them also.
True.
Like, as they get older, like when they're young kids, okay, there's a media, but like the kids who learn that they can push, you just can't do it all the time. You're like, and they know you can't do it all the time, so they're like kind of counting on that,
True.
And I would say also, like, you don't want to do it all the time, because they'll snap. And it goes back to our Tzniut comment. You can't criticize everything. That's what made me interesting. Like, you said your husband and your daughter doesn't let her sleep late. You can't do everything. They can't expect perfection out of your children, because when you do, then they crack. They need their outlet, they need their freedom. But we digress. So, in a sense,
Paro is
he's looking for an out.
It's more successful to harden his heart if you give a little, take a little. Do you know what I mean?
Take a lot, give a little back. Right. So Paro looks at it and says,
to harden his heart or to let him get him to let people go? What's your goal?
He doesn't want to let him go.
Paro doesn't want to let him go.
No, Moshe, God doesn't want Paro to let him go. Not yet. Not yet.
But then there's the flip side.
If you keep thinking,
also the side of the people. No. You can't just say it because they're also the consequence. There's the Jews. Because they're also still in that state of slavery. So I think it's more in their sense that...
What do you mean, the Jews? You're talking about the Jews, the people, or the Egyptians?
I'm talking about the Jews.
What about them?
If you want them, if it's too easy, then they're going to go, wait a second, like, I don't know. It's going to be a little bit like enticing them also, and then throw obstacles. It's two sided.
But they're not experiencing any of this. They're just watching.
Don't they? They're watching Moshe go and ask for their freedom.
Yes.
Well, it didn't work for them because even when they got out, they were like, "Can we go back?"
Right.
It's building up hope also for them.
I always see it more as real. They don't need hope. They need to believe. They need a sense of identity. They need faith in God.
They need something.
They need faith in God.
They need something tangible.
Why would this not, meaning, what you think, it's interesting. So you think, one second, I'm trying to think what you're saying. So you think just as Paro, could be, just as Paro is giving a little bit of rope and said, I don't have to send them. So too the Jews are just giving a little bit of rope and saying, well, if God was really all powerful, he would have destroyed everything. So it gives them a little bit of psychological doubt.
Yeah.
It has to be. You're not saying that, but it has to be, wouldn't it?
No, I'm saying it the other way. I'm like, maybe there's a chance.
That what?
That we'll actually get to go.
But why would they, and then why wouldn't he destroy them all, destroy all the crops?
They're not ready. They have to want it also. He's building their desire also to get out.
But they want out. The question is whether they want out. They clearly want out. Do they want...
80% of them stayed.
The question isn't do they want out or not out. The question is do they believe enough in God in order to leave what they have.
That's what they died.
The devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Right. Correct. The point is, the whole the two major purposes of the plagues were to create God's name among the Egyptians and also so that the Jews, to separate and distinguish between them and the Jewish people. Do you believe enough in this God to leave Egypt and start something new?
And the answer is very often, like it's not a simple thing. You know, as much as bad as slavery is. Okay, so I think that what you're saying is very interesting. They're saying it's intermittent, like belief. It's not a zero sum game. You know, it's a gradual thing, and you build up. It's a very interesting question. Now I have to think about this.
Google.
No, I have to think about it in terms of, like when you say like the process of tshuva per se, or the process of belief, of coming into something new. Right? It's not like.
I think that's how it works normally.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm not about tshuva, but my experience with Bali tshuva has been to try to help people. Like I remember once there was somebody who was like on this process, and I would like the whoa, like you're not ready for this. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to like I don't remember whatever it was.
Bali tshuva can be just your process of emuna. Like you see miracles or you see hashgacha pratik, and then you fall back three steps and you're like, where is Hashem in my life? And then something else happens and then you move closer to your belief and then you get despondent. Something happens in the news. You're like, where is Hashem helping us? It's like a process that it's like three steps forward, two steps back.
Right, but I'm just trying to connect it to the Jewish people. Like the whole of Egypt is one big Baal Tshuva movement. Like it's one mass conversion, right? Because they don't know God. They don't believe in God. They've heard of this God. How do you get them from, this was a God of my forefathers, to this is my God? That I'm willing to literally put my life in his hands and go out into the middle of nowhere. Right?
It's a slow process.
It's a process.
You take and you doubt, and then it's also a choice. How do I want to see this?
Right.
It's a choice. So
I never thought of it. That's very nice. So I'm saying that if it's a choice for Paro to be able to see a way out and say, maybe there isn't, maybe like if he was really all powerful then he would have destroyed everything.
There's always a choice.
So the same thing is the Jews also had a choice, had a way out.
Yeah, that's always okay.
The way they serve.
How do the Jews, until they don't, until the end.
But even then they had a choice to go or not go, to mark their doors or not mark their doors.
Correct. And even then they had a choice. Like even when it's literally, you know, slapping you in the face, people still choose the other way. Okay, and that's why I think that this emphasis is so interesting. These two psukim about the grain. Oh, the grain with like the spring grain and the rain grain, like really, that's important now? And the answer is yes, that's critical. That's the essence of this makkah. The essence of this makkah is what didn't happen. To show you again, just like we said, Dam was a show, right? Arov, right? The mixed multitude or the flies, like I like to say. That also, it was annoying. It was power. But it wasn't to destroy. Even the Barad was much more a symbol of power than it was a symbol of destruction. And anyone who really believed in God suffered no damage at all. Like his fields were destroyed, but no damage. But his animals he could have brought in, and you could have avoided everything in a sense. It didn't have to be necessarily a destructive plague. It's up to you. Just the people that didn't want to believe. Okay? Let's just finish.
Even if you brought in your slaves and your animals, your barley and flax were still
lost. Yes, your barley and flax were lost. Not all was lost, but your barley and flax was lost. Interesting question. Did Paro bring in his slaves? Doesn't say. Did he hedge his bets? Yeah.
Well, he could.
What?
He could hedge his bets because he could take those that did bring in their stuff.
And keep it, right.
And keep it.
That's right.
So he didn't need to make that decision.
Oh, one second, what are they thinking? Somehow they say, right, remember all the cattle or whatever? Like, how did Paro have horses to chase after the Jewish people if all their animals had died? Mm. So I remember seeing somewhere exactly that he took all the animals from the people that brought their stuff in, and that's how we had the animals in order to, you know? Anyway, there's a certain irony there. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, let's just finish the pasuk. Vayetzei Moshe me'im Paro el ha'ir. So Moshe went. Okay, I sent out a riddle on Facebook. Yeah, I used to do Parsha riddles. So since it's Star Wars time, I said, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu had the force? Okay, that he could stop things in midair. So it's interesting. Look at the Pesukim. Translate. Did not reach the ground. So I'll just read you the midrash. So now you can ask this at home. It's like a fun. Where do we see the Moshe Rabbeinu had the force, like Yoda? Okay, matar lo hitach arza. Says the midrash. Heigan hayu. So if it didn't reach the ground, where was it? Till the Amber Rifyon. It stayed in the midair. Okay, the matai stayed in midair. The ematai yardu.
What's matai?
Oh, the falling bara, the falling rock, hail, stopped in the middle of the air. Okay? It didn't come to the ground. So when did it fall? Chelek yardu b'yimei Yehoshua on the Amorim. It says later it fell on the Amorites in Yehoshua. Okay? Because it says later on in Yehoshua that God, Hishmich alem avanim gidolot min hashamayim. There were like, there were great rocks that fell upon from the heavens. And in the end, wait, Bahashar atitin leireid v'yimei Gog u'Magog. There's still some left. That comes later.
Wow.
Like, you know. So if that's the answer to the riddle, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu had the force to stop things in midair? All of you have seen the movie, right? You know what I'm talking about? No.
Which one?
Forget it. Okay. Star Wars?
Yeah. You know, of course.
Right? You know how like a Jedi Knight can stop things from falling in the middle, like yeah. midair? So Moshe Rabbeinu stopped them. Like, it wasn't that the Barad stopped falling, that okay, whatever was there fell. Moshe Rabbeinu put out his hands and said, okay, hail, stop. And it stopped in midair and just stayed there until whatever, in the heavens until it was time for it to fall later on. It's a good riddle. I thought it was a good riddle. Okay. I would have asked it in short. Vayar paro ki chadal hamatar v'habarad v'kolot. He said it's paro saw that it stopped. V'yosef lachto v'yachpe libo hu v'avadav. Right? Then this goes back to this idea, this understanding that every time it stops, there's this opening. And he continues to sin. Vayichazek leparo v'lo shilach et bnei Yisrael kasher diber Hashem b'yam Moshe. And he didn't want to send out, and he didn't send out, just as God had told Moshe, and just as Moshe had told him. Okay, but we see again, so this is this idea that we spoke about of the progression, the increasing severity, the idea of the show. Show is important. You know, the idea of strength. Powerful strength is important. Even today, people respect strength.
Flexing muscle.
What?
Flexing your muscle.
Yeah, people are, I mean, power is an important thing. Right? You know, and it creates a sense of intimidation. And at the same time, it's building up, as we see, to a point where the Egyptians will not have a choice. And hopefully the Jews also won't have a choice. And they'll see the might of God and create a nation. That's all I have. We'll stop here.